continues on. Mishahaya koslo samach laginas chaveru v'nafal. Here, instead of falling into a public domain, we have something falling into a private domain. So it'll be a little different. Guy has his wall, like whatever it is, the wall of his property, and it is adjacent to his friend's garden. V'nafal, and the wall topples over, falling into the friend's garden. V'amarlo, and the neighbor, the friend with the garden, says, Panei avnecha, get your stupid rocks out of my backyard. Amarlo, and he says, listen, higyucha, he says, you know what, just clear away yourself and you can keep them. Ein shomalo, that doesn't cut it, we don't listen to him. In other words, that the victim, neighbor, doesn't have to say, oh, okay, he can say, no, I insist, I don't care what those stones are worth, it's your mess, you clean it up. And if someone gets hurt or whatever it is, if someone gets hurt on those stones, then the garden owner can sue his neighbor for damages, of course. Ein shomon lo, the basin will, and he, if the owner says to the basin, yeah, well, I told the guy I can have those stones, I can give them as a gift. Forget it, no chance, because he's responsible. However, misha kibla lov, if the neighbor says, okay, fine, I want those stones, and he takes them, so then, amr lo, once the mess has been cleaned up, the owner of the wall now says, he says, Heleches yitziosechas. Take your, you know, here's the money for all your efforts. Vani etel eshli. I want my rocks back. Again, ein shomalo. No way, Jose. Can't have it that way. So in other words, the neighbor whose wall fell said, keep the rocks yourself and you can have them. That has no weight. But if the neighbor who owned, the next neighbor who owned the garden says, okay, I'll take those rocks. Now he can't change his, the owner of the wall originally can't change his mind and say, listen, I'll pay you for your efforts. Even if it's a fair amount, yeah. It's his, he made a kinyan. Once he picked it up, he made a kinyan on it. Yeah, it is contingent on him picking it up though. Indeed. Picking up a stone, yeah, making a kinyan. Otherwise it's not. And we wouldn't say, in other words, the Gemara speaks like this. What happens if the next door neighbor, the owner of the wall says, you know, have it, it's yours, and the victim with the garden says, doesn't accept that, and then the next day, the owner, even though the owner had said you could have it, let's say even that the garden owner thought, oh, you know what, actually that's a great idea, I will take those stones for myself. But he didn't take them yet, they're just sitting in the backyard. Then the next day, the wall owner says, you know, I was just kidding, I want my stones back, whatever it is, he gets to keep them. In other words, the original owner gets to take back his stones, because no kinyan was made, and we just see, he was just, you know, when he said you can keep them, he just meant like, he's just buying time, so he had read himself the backhoe loader. Loader? Backhoe loader? So that's it. That's that. Fine. Good. Now, Hasocher es apoel. Now, new paragraph, but a similar. You'll see the connection. A guy who rents a worker. Lasus imo b'tevin v'kash. He hires the worker to collect up the tevin and kash. We'll call it, you know, the straw. We'll look like Tosfos today. Tevin is straw and kash is stubble.
Hey.
I still haven't figured out. I
forgot. Tevin's hay, kash is straw.
They're different
plants.
No. Okay, I'm putting my foot down and saying no in that case. We discussed this before, but I made an eon into it, and I'm not accepting that anymore. According to Ra, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. I don't. Maybe someone else says that, but I'll tell you the two chat.
I'm playing modern Hebrew. This.
Oh yeah, modern Hebrew.
Modern Hebrew tevin is straw. Is hay and kash is straw. And as far as those terms go, today hay.
What does hay come from again? What do you say?
Hay is from field grass.
Just field grass?
Field grass. Straw is the stalks from grain.
Oh.
After they cut the grain off, they...
Oh, that's interesting.
But animals don't eat straw, they eat hay. Straw is like bedding.
Oh. Very interesting. I don't know any of that stuff. All I know is that I mean, I don't know about that stuff. That may be all true for modern Hebrew and for modern farming, but it is not true in the Mishnah. Shout out to Rashi and Tosfos. So I'll just refute. Yeah.
So this straw.
Yeah.
Straw is the dried up stuff that you chop off and have stubble, which is where it remains the grind. Take that off.
That's Tosos's understanding. Right. So okay. So I can't. I'm not. There's not Ulpan. I do not know the modern Hebrew words. I'm not standing to them. According to Tosos, what Tosos learns, that which is you harvest the grain and then you thresh it and get out the kernels. What's left behind is called tevin. I'm speaking.
Tevin.
Right, so that's tevin. That's, I don't know about modern Hebrew. I'm not saying, I don't know. But in the Pshat in the Mishnah, is that is what Tevin is. Okay? And according to Tosfos, was left behind in the ground, you know, attached in, that's called the kash. That's called stubble, like stubble in your beard, stubble in the ground. It's left behind.
Oh, what's left attached to the ground?
Left still in there. That's according to Tosfos. That's called the kash. According to Rashi, the whole stalk is called the kash, and then you cut it into smaller pieces for feeding animals, so that the animals are eating, I guess. For feeding animals or for making bricks. And once it's cut in smaller pieces, it's called tevin. That's Rashi's learning. Okay, so the kash is the whole and tevin is the pieces. Whatever it is, there'll be slight differences, but the point is, it doesn't matter if it's Mishnah, you hire your worker to work, you know, to collect the straw, the stubble, the kosh, the hay, the straw, and it doesn't matter what they're collecting. They're collecting toothpicks from the toothpick factory, it doesn't matter. Point is, after they had done all the work and collected whatever they're supposed to collect, the employee says to the employer, ten li schari, okay, time for you to pay me. Va'amar lo, so the employer says, tol masha asisa bischarcha. You know what? I don't have any cash on me. You can just keep the straw or stubble or toothpicks or whatever else it is you're working with for yourself. Ein shomon lo, we do not listen to him, meaning that the employee need not accept payment in the form of straw. Now, there's a big chiddush here. Throughout Kol HaTorah Kula, really, we say, Chazal understand that kesef is keshava kesef, meaning like they looked at the whole world as one eBay platform, and it's all the same. We discussed this in Kedushin, I think, at length, at Kesef, at Sheva Kesef, that you pay them in big pens. What's the problem? Just eBay it off. If they ever know pens go for a shekel a pen, you owe them 100 shekels, give them 100 pens. That's the exact same thing. And that's how it normally works. However, because of the psukim, and there's actually machlokas in the Rishonim, which is the critical pasuk, but let's learn like most, which is it says, B'yomo, when it talks about an employee, it says, B'yomo titen scharo, give him his wage. So learn from that, scharo dafka's wage and not, you know, big pens, whatever it is. The Bar Tzinura brings from a different pasuk that he says, delo sullen pula schir, which means his wage shouldn't stay over. But the same idea, the wage. The fact that the Torah specifies giving the guy a wage implies money dafka and not stuff, money equivalents. So therefore, although in the rest of the Torah universe you can pay with cash or cash equivalents, meaning any metallic lin, when it comes to employees' wages, you duff with the payment cash if that's what he's expecting. So therefore the din is, ain shomun lo, you don't listen to the employer who says to the employee, keep your stuff.
You make it difficult for him if you give him anything but the money, because he's going to have then convert it into money.
Okay.
And then do what he needs to do with it.
I need to buy a sandwich dinner.
Okay.
But he needs to eat.
Well, that's a din by the employee. But let's say, just for argument's sake, just to be different, I borrow $100 from you, $100 US, and then you come back claiming it from me. I can just say, listen, I don't have any cash for me, but here, you know, these stacking chairs, everyone knows these stacking chairs, you know, cost 25 shekels a pop. You get 16 of them, whatever the story is, have a nice day. That's that. Whatever the equivalent, I don't get ribbons. The point is, you know, they cost $10 each, like 10 stacking chairs, and that's it. Whatever the story is, that'll be fine. Okay? But not for employment. Well, okay.
At least in terms of today.
Yeah, because I don't want those chairs.
Well, it may well be indeed that in modern times that's not acceptable as expected business practice. It's not legal tender. There's laws about that. But in Chazal's time, I think it was a barter economy in the first place. Remember, like we've talked about.
Today, the absolute usher is if I stand being. You know, I'm having all guys come work for me today for in 30 shekels an hour. Right? If I can't go and say, here's five Krispy Kreme donuts.
Right, so, well, yeah, even the Torah.
It's 18-year-olds, they might actually be having that.
Correct. The Torah is prohibiting that, and that's even in Chazal's time. No way. Yeah. But let's go back to a loan for a second. The loan idea is I borrow $100 from you, can you pay me Krispy Kreme donuts? So. The Mishnah's halacha would be yes, not a problem. But I'm telling you, I think, remember we've seen like different, like the money changers would like finally set up shop. And remember, if you're talking about the people out in the farm and like the villagers, you know, like the village doesn't mean that you commute to the city on the train every day. It means like you don't. You know, maybe if you're lucky, you go on Mondays and Thursdays or whatever because you need to or something. So, and we saw the money changers would go, we saw the conflicting shot. But one was, you know, right, only in time. We saw in here in Bava Metzia, we'll take that. story. But Metzia, we said when you get a coin, you have till Erev Shabbos, and the money changer shows up. Like they had no cash all week long. They used it bartered, whatever the story is. Subsistence farming, who knows? Anyways, that's that. The point, the only chiddush of the Mishnah here that I'm focusing on is that unlike the rest of the Torah and other things, when it comes to wages, cash is king. You have to pay cash. Okay. New paragraph. Okay, I think it's even a new Mishnah, like Gemara, if I remember correctly. Hamoti zevel l'rishus harabim. If a person is, we got a transaction here. I'm the farmer and I've got manure, and you're the, I have the animals and I have the manure, and you have the farm. You want to buy the manure. That wasn't very good, but that's what I have at the moment for you. So hamoti zevel l'rishus harabim. I can take out, you know, my good old the manure for you. And hamot, and but you're expected to be there. It's like collected on the spot, not leaving it lying around in the street. Hamotzi motzi, the guy who has the animals brings out the manure. Famazal mazabel, and the guy who wants the farm takes it immediately to go fertilize his crops. You can't leave it lying around there at length because it's a public nuisance, right? That's all you're allowed to do. So you're expected to take cleared away straight away. Can't leave it lying around over there. And if you did, you'd be chayav for damages. I would just remind you, we've seen something very similar in Bava Kama, and over there we see something which is a little bit different, if you remember. A little bit different. Which was, it says that when one of the things that conditions Yeshua made when he made move into the land is, oh, but you're allowed to leave your stuff in there to become manure, to become zevel, to become a fertilizer. That's not really our case here. That, the deal was, you can leave it there because you want people to trample on it, remember? So like it'll be worn down. But in any case, even over there, If you recall, although it was mutter to do, meaning that no one can come take it from you if you leave it out there, but if someone got hurt in it, you're still chayav. Just remember that. It was only in the season. It was also only in the season. That's right. But so this case isn't necessarily in the season. We're not talking about let it sing out there. And there and here both, we're saying you're liable for damages if you leave stuff in the public place. The point is, you have no right leaving your zevel lying around the public place. And similarly, in Shoren Titbershus Arab, they soaked clay in water. I'm not exactly sure why, but whatever they did it for, that's how they used it for their, you know, for.
Yeah, making bricks.
What? Well, definitely not bricks. Definitely not bricks.
Making mortar.
Mortar. Is that all it is? I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure Mitsuti what they're doing here. I don't even know. When I say tit, I used to translate it as clay because that's also translated as clay.
Clay
means
plaster.
Yeah. Well, I know, right. So I think here it means clay for some reason. They're soaking clay. Even though tit elsewhere often means exactly right, plaster. Or lime. Anyways, whatever it is, I mean, who really cares? The point is, you can't let your stuff sit out there to soak in the public place, because people need to access that place. You can't leave it there.
I think also it's a danger, drowning or for kids.
And I don't think, okay, all the above. But I mean,
people didn't seem too concerned about kids' safety back then.
Right. But I'm not sure what it looks like. For all I know, it's in, you know, this deep water. I don't know nothing. But the point is, you can't soak your tit out there in the public place because you're in everyone's way and it's dangerous and people get hurt and everything else. The aim lovnin levenim, you can't make bricks. That's not bricks. Brick making is even worse. Brick making takes a long time. You basically take the clay and you let it sit in the sun and bake. You can't use the public place as your brick baking facility. Of a govlin tit brishus around. What you could do is mix the cements, whatever it is, as you're in a construction. So as you're building a new house, you can put the cement mixer out on the street and it can be cement mixing and stuff. It's temporary and you're using it, that's okay. That's the public place is there for, everyone can use it. Of a low levenum, while you could mix, you know, it's a short-term thing to just mix some cement and use the public space as you're doing construction, and you wouldn't be chayav, you can't let your bricks sit there and set. That still takes days, you know, to actually manufacture the bricks themselves. That you can't do, it takes too long. Habonim b'rishus harabim. If someone's using the public space for doing construction, hamevi avanim mevi, just like the zevel, the stone guy for the quarry can bring the rocks. Habonim bone. You don't leave the rocks lying around the street. Immediately, you have to pick them up and use them for construction. You can't leave your stones lying around because again, it's a public obstruction. Vim hizik mishalim masha hizik, and therefore, if people get hurt on your rocks, even if it's only there temporarily. In other words, even if you really do have the dropper offer and the picker upper there simultaneously and they're doing their thing, if in the meantime, in that, you know, that 20-minute span where the one guy's are offloading and one guy's are unloading, if someone comes and breaks their ankle on the trips over the rocks, you're still chayav because you had your stuff in public place at the time.
Does Chazar Shifrin count the same way?
chatzer. Well, it's not Rosh Saram, it has a little different dinim because the guy's right being there. Yeah. The point is, you're responsible for your mess. Even though it's on the one hand, you're allowed to use a public place for unloading, offloading, and mixing, for construction and everything else, but be mindful, even though it's mutter to do, if something bad happens, you're responsible.
So somebody delivers a whole pile of asphalt, right? You're actually building the Rosh Saram. Right? So it's sitting there.
Well, that was a complicated discussion. There was a whole machlokas, the gra, with being actually doing people a favor by smoothing out the public place. We're not going that direction. We're just saying, you're building a new home, and they've got, all the land movement stuff and all the equipment and all the tiles sitting out on the street. So we're allowing the ceramic guy to drop off the tiles and for your, contractor to come, install them. That's okay. It's a temporary thing, as they're bringing in, offloading, unloading. You can use the street for that. But be mindful that if some kid on his bike goes through and crashes into your pile of tiles in the 10 minutes they're sitting out there, you're chayav, because meanwhile you put your stuff there. Okay, fine. It would have to be that the kid would be, a stupid kid, or like, should they look... Remember, when it comes to boar, we can always say, look where you're going. So whatever the reason is, it was nighttime, you didn't see it, whatever the story is, it was around the blind corner, whatever the story is, the kid gets clobbered, you're chayav. Okay. Now Reb Shimon disagrees, Reb Shimon Gamliel disagrees, and he says, af misakin hu malachto lefnei shloshim yom. He says, if you're doing some kind of construction, you're allowed to leave your stuff in the street for 30 days, up to 30 days, and that's okay. And you wouldn't be chayav. Like, it's a public place for everyone to use, but the din is not like him. Okay? So he is very makel, but din doesn't follow him.